Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Do-over. A little hard to hear, but President Obama took the oath again. Just in case, you know, there are people out there who still say he's not a native-born American, and so he's not qualified to be president of the United States. You'd be surprised if you don't listen to those talk shows, just how many talk shows there still are out there in America on that topic. So just to be on the safe side, he took the oath of office again after that slight flubbing of the words on the part of Chief Justice Roberts and then, therefore, Obama echoing Roberts on the first take at the inauguration ceremony. So the Constitution is upheld once again. And speaking of upholding the Constitution, more orders from President Obama today about Guantanamo Bay and the treatment of detainees. After shutting down two Gitmo military tribunals yesterday, he is apparently about to order the shutdown of the secret prisons run by the CIA and of Guantanamo itself within a year. Also stop the CIA from using different standards of interrogation from the U.S. military, and ensure that interim conditions at Gitmo meet Geneva Convention standards. And with us to talk about what all this means is Daphne Evyatar, legal correspondent with the Washington Independent. Hi, Daphne. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi. It's great to be here.
Let's talk about Gitmo first and the Geneva Conventions. Maybe the most interesting part is his immediate invoking of the Geneva Conventions on the treatment of detainees to cover conditions at Guantanamo. Did the Bush administration consider Gitmo outside the realm of the Geneva Conventions?
Yes. I mean, that was really the whole point of the creation of the prison at Gitmo, was to have a place where you could send prisoners that would not be subject to the Geneva Conventions. Now, the Supreme Court actually didn't agree and overturned that, but the Bush administration created this prison specifically to have an off-site place where you could house people and say they don't get treatment under the Geneva Conventions. We can use all sorts of alternative interrogation techniques, torture, things that we all know about that were used there.
Well, they never say they could use torture. They always maintain that they didn't use torture.
They did. They maintain they didn't use torture. However, they acknowledge that they used waterboarding, which, as we now know, has long been considered torture, has been prosecuted as torture, has been considered a war crime for many years, and the U.S. has even prosecuted it in the past as a war crime. So they've said that they don't use torture, but, you know, even a Pentagon official recently, Susan Crawford, who is the chief officer of the military commissions, acknowledged that one of the detainees had been tortured and now can't be prosecuted by the military commission.
That was a really interesting development that didn't get that much press at the time. But if she says that in the position that she holds as chief prosecutor, is that actually the title? Chief prosecutor?
Convening authority is what they call it. But really, she's the one who decides whether or not to prosecute at the military commissions.
She didn't allow some evidence, or basically said she could not try one of these detainees because evidence was obtained by torture in a particular instance, correct?
Right, exactly.
And then we also have the Obama Attorney General nominee, Eric Holder, testifying at his confirmation hearing that he considers waterboarding to be torture. The Bush Justice Department certainly never got that explicit in public, even if they came to believe that. So if that's the position of the Attorney General of the United States, assuming Holder gets confirmed, does that open Bush or Cheney or Alberto Gonzalez or anyone else to war crimes prosecution, domestic or international?
Well, it certainly does. And that's why, as you've probably heard, Eric Holder's nomination is being held up, because apparently there's a lot of concern among some Senate Republicans that he could authorize a prosecution or an investigation of Bush officials. Because you're right, he said that some of what they did and what they authorized, and Dick Cheney has personally acknowledged he authorized waterboarding, he said that was torture. And that's a violation of international conventions. It's a violation of domestic law. So I think all reports are that that's the reason that they are holding up the vote on Eric Holder right now.
What else might change at Gitmo as Geneva Convention conditions are adhered to? Anything other than the nature of interrogations?
Well, what they're going to do is first they're going to review the conditions of confinement, which I think have improved over the years, is my understanding. But because there's been limited access to Gitmo, it's hard to know. But generally, I think the first thing they want to do is review the conditions of confinement. And then more importantly, as you said, they're going to be announcing today that Obama wants to close the prison. And so the question now really is, what is he going to do with all of the people that are still there? And there's about 245 people left there. So he'll have to determine whether he can send some of them home. There will be individual reviews of each person to look at what the evidence is against them. And then they'll have to decide what to do with those that they can't send home, with those that they have evidence really were involved in terrorist activities.
Put them in U.S. prisons and try them in U.S. courts. Are there any other options?
Well, there are, and this has been a big controversy, you know, among his advisors and among people who are calling for various things. But there's a lot of pressure on him to transfer these people to U.S. federal courts and have them tried by regular federal judges. And there's also been a lot of pressure by the more conservative wing, even among his advisors, people saying, well, that might not be such a great idea. It's not clear that the federal courts can handle these cases. And so that's something to really look out for. I mean, he made a lot of great statements yesterday, and I think these executive orders and the presidential memoranda that he released are very interesting. But the details of what he does with the prisoners who are at Guantanamo is going to be really important.
Is the executive order for today actually out yet, or are we still just anticipating it?
You know, actually, the last I heard, we were just anticipating it, but it's possible it came out in the last few minutes.
Yeah, the last I heard, too, as of 10 o'clock.
Right.
But the New York Times said the nature of the executive order will allow Obama to reopen secret CIA prisons if Osama bin Laden is captured. Why might they want to do that, even for bin Laden, after making the show of rejecting the idea of secret prisons?
Well, it sounds to me like he's trying to appease some of the people in the CIA who still believe that it was okay to have these secret prisons or that perhaps they're necessary under certain limited circumstances. I think he'll certainly try to avoid doing that, but you're right, that's a little exception to this order, that they could reopen them. And as you know, the secret prisons were very controversial, and we don't have full information about what was going on there, but we do know that people were sent there to be interrogated outside of the rule of law, and so they were probably tortured, and all sorts of things might have been done. So it's very important that he made this show of saying he's going to close them down, but it is an interesting loophole to say he could reopen them.
Why did the Bush administration feel that they needed secret prisons other than, again, interrogation techniques?
I think that was most of it. I mean, you know, you have to remember, of course, after September 11th, there was a lot of hysteria, there was a lot of fear that there was another attack, and that seemed to be when the harshest interrogation techniques were introduced. It was in early 2002. People were being picked up in different parts of the world and whisked away to secret places, and no one heard from them for months, and then they would maybe show up at Guantanamo Bay or at the Bagram prison in Afghanistan, and mostly they were being interrogated under probably various forms of torture. And I think there was just a sense that we have to do something different because what if there's another terrorist attack? And so there was a lot of discussion at that time that maybe torture is okay. I think we've sort of evolved a little bit beyond that, and we've come to see that actually torture doesn't work. And a lot of reports and studies have come out showing that the evidence that people obtain under torture is not reliable. But I think at that time, there was a lot of hysteria, and people were willing to do anything.
Daphne Evyatar from the Washington Independent, my guest on WNYC, as we talk about President Obama ordering changes in the detention process, ordering changes in the nature of the prisons where detainees in the war on terror are held, also canceling military tribunals that were already in progress for some detainees, and we'll get to that. And we can take a few phone calls for her and web comments at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post your comment or your question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. One correction from our previous segment. I mentioned that if Attorney General Andrew Cuomo gets the appointment to the U.S. Senate to replace Hillary Clinton, that Governor Patterson would appoint his replacement. Actually, the New York State Legislature would choose the replacement for Andrew Cuomo. So just to correct that detail. What happens? Well, let's talk about these trials. This came yesterday, but tell me about these cases. One of them had to do with 9/11, and this was a military tribunal already in progress, and it has now been stopped?
Yeah. These are the five people who are suspected of masterminding 9/11, and including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who is suspected or has admitted to masterminding something like 50 different terrorist attacks. And so, again, it's not really clear how credible he is. But there was a trial in progress for them, or a proceeding in progress. And
ironically, these were habeas corpus hearings that were in progress, right? They were challenging the nature of their detention, the grounds on which they were detained. And the Democrats had gone to great lengths to say, we should reinstate habeas corpus, and the Supreme Court did too. And so these were habeas corpus hearings, and now Obama came in and canceled them.
Well, actually, there's two different kinds of hearings. The habeas corpus hearings are in federal court in D.C., and those are ongoing. What he canceled was the separate military commission proceeding, and that was what a lot of people were claiming was unconstitutional. It was not a regular court. Mm-hmm. It was not a habeas proceeding. It was a criminal proceeding under the Military Commissions Act. And so it allowed, for example, the admission of evidence under torture in certain circumstances. It allowed the use of hearsay evidence. It allowed the use of secret evidence that the detainee had never seen or that his lawyer had never seen. So it made a lot of exceptions to the usual rules, and a lot of people were upset and said, these are unconstitutional trials. That's what Obama put a stop to or suspended for 120 days.
I see.
But habeas proceedings are ongoing in federal court.
Okay, I stand corrected. So what would happen now to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed? We're talking about Khalid Sheikh Mohammed among these other detainees and defendants. The alleged mastermind of the 9/11 conspiracy, how would he be tried now?
Well, that's the big question. I mean, for now he's going to be stuck at Guantanamo at least another 4 months while they decide during this period what to do about the military commissions. But the question is, will Obama try to somehow revise the military commissions and use the same procedure but just make it better? Or will he say all of these people should be tried in U.S. federal court? And if he does that, he has to transfer them to U.S. federal prisons. And there's already been controversy that local people in where the prisons are located don't want these guys in their neighborhood. I mean, you know, they already have murderers in prison in their neighborhood, but they don't want terrorists, apparently. So there is sort of aura about these people who have been held at Guantanamo Bay, that they're the worst of the worst, and all of the sort of stuff that the Bush administration has said about them. So now nobody wants them in the United States. So there's going to be a big controversy if he wants to try them in U.S. federal courts, where he's going to put them, you know, who's going to be willing to let them be in their region even.
How about an international war crimes tribunal? Certainly 9/11 could conceivably rise to that level.
It could. I mean, interestingly, I haven't heard much about an international war crimes tribunal. I guess because normally it's the responsibility of the country itself first to prosecute crimes that occurred on its own territory. And so it's really the responsibility of the United States to prosecute people who committed this crime of 9/11 and any other sorts of terrorist attacks that have taken place since then. So I think it's seen as really a national responsibility rather than an international responsibility.
Peter in Brooklyn has another reason that he thinks they maintain secret prisons. Hi, Peter. You're on WNYC.
Yeah, hi. I think another very basic reason is that the way that a lot of people were put in these prisons is simply kidnapping, a violation of international law, U.S. law, and often local country law. There was a case of some Italian intelligence agents being prosecuted in Italian courts for cooperating with CIA kidnapping on Italian soil. One of the most flagrant things I've read about was in the Washington Post. They reported on a report from the CIA's own inspector general that concluded that one of the people in a secret prison, they didn't specify which country, was a professor innocent of any connection to terrorism, been kidnapped because he had a student in his class who was connected to Al-Qaeda. That student was picked up, put in a secret prison, presumably tortured, fingered the professor, according to the report, because he resented the professor for giving him a low grade.
Do you know of that case, and can you confirm that scenarios? I mean, can you confirm that particular scenario, or do you know about that Washington Post story?
I've heard about that. I can't confirm the particular scenario. I don't know the exact details of it, but it doesn't surprise me. I mean, one of the big problems, and a lot of the people who ended up at Guantanamo Bay were people who were picked up because some, you know, local rival fingered them and turned them over, even for a bounty, to the U.S. authorities. I mean, a lot of people in Afghanistan were picked up that way. A neighbor said, oh, that guy's a member of the Taliban or is Al-Qaeda. And a lot, there was very, very shaky evidence. And, you know, interestingly, this hasn't gotten much media attention, but in the last couple of weeks, the last 3 months, 24 different prisoners have been ordered released in the habeas proceedings in federal court because judges have finally, after 6 or 7 years, had a chance to review the evidence against them and decided there's no evidence here, or
though
it comes
also,
from someone really unreliable.
Though I've also heard, and tell me if you can confirm this, that some of those people have then gone back to the battlefield, mostly in Afghanistan, and started attacking Americans again.
We don't know. There are no reliable figures of how many people have done that. The Defense Department has said, I think, about a dozen people out of the 500 or so that have been released from Guantanamo Bay over the last 7 years have gone back and become enemies or warriors again. But we don't really know. There's no way of confirming that. And advocates say it's a much smaller number.
Stanley in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi,
yes.
Stanley.
How are you doing, Brian? It's just shocking that this energy, the guest of yours,
mm-hmm.
all this energy that's going into this cause, it just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Well, it's the president's energy, I think, not the reporters.
They gained 30 to 40 pounds within the first 2 weeks of them being captured. They're laughing at you. Don't you get it? They're laughing their heads off at this conversation. Where's your energy going? It shocks me. Brian, you too.
Can I respond to that?
Go ahead, Daphne.
Well, I think it's important to distinguish between whether the energy from Barack Obama or from anybody is not towards helping people who have attacked the United States. It's towards upholding the rule of law in the United States. And I think what was really interesting. Well, yeah, I think we do get it. I mean, I think what's interesting about what President Obama has done is, you know, he didn't just say, I'm going to release everybody from Guantanamo. I'm closing it down today. He said, I'm issuing an executive order to study further what should happen to these people and what's the best way to do justice. I am reinstilling the rule of law. I'm saying that international law applies to people. That's what the United States stands for, and I think that's what he's trying to do here. He's not doing it in any sort of radical way. He's not releasing people to go attack the United States. He's saying we have to follow the law because we have to stand for something or we can't expect others to respect us.
Stanley, let me just ask you, which do you think is more important, America doing what it collectively decides is right or whether the bad guys are laughing at us?
I don't see a parallel. I don't know what one thing has to do with the other. It's just that these people gained weight initially. I mean, right away. I mean, they're being treated much better than anybody would have been treated, you know, in that situation. That's all.
Have they been treated that well? Daphne, last question.
Well, you know, I don't know how much weight anybody's gained. I think certainly it might be that some people have gotten more food while they're in Guantanamo Bay. I don't think that's really been a huge issue. But that's not the question. I mean, the question of whether they're legitimately there or whether they were just accused by a neighbor, an enemy, or a teacher or a student who didn't like them is really the question. Some of these people have been put in prison for 6 or 7 years, and it turned out there was no evidence against them, or the evidence against them was so completely unreliable that there was no reason to hold them, and the United States shouldn't be doing that.
Daphne Evyatar from the Washington Independent. More executive orders expected any time now from President Obama. Day one and day two, very symbolic orders on the closing of Guantanamo within a year, the closing of secret prisons, and the bringing of Guantanamo under the purview of the Geneva Conventions. Thank you very much, Daphne.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, MTA Chief Lee Sander on the future of transit in New York.